One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Woo! Do you feel what I feel?
Here we go, y'all. We're on that maiden voyage. You feel it? Just trying to get out of the harbor here. If we could just get out around that end. Around that end, we could probably catch some sail here. Somebody give us a push. Use your feet. Soft sole sneakers. Don't put your walker on it. Not with the tennis ball parts. God damn it. There we go. There it is. All right. It feels good, y'all. It's a new day, a new week, a new year, and I got a brand new podcast. Fold that ass. Welcome to the Honeydew, y'all. I'm fired up to be here at the brand new Your Mom's House Studios. I am your host, Ryan Sickler. You can follow me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. And my website is ryansickler.com. I have a brand new album out. Maybe some of y'all heard of it, called Get a Hold of Yourself. It's available now on iTunes, Apple Music, you know, a deal, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora. You really want to help me out? You go to iTunes, you give it a 5-star written review, a feaster. Honeydew written review. I will always love the feasters, and you can always be feasters. You better fucking be feasters, because you're feasters. And now we're talking about the Honeydew. You can figure out what your nickname is later. I see a lot of you putting that out there. I don't know, to be honest. Some of you said, I don't want to be called honeys because it doesn't work for guys, but you're called mommies. That works for you. So I don't know. I'm from the land of Baltimore, and we call everybody hun. So we could be huns. I love the poke. Hey, hun. Everybody's hun or honey, whatever you want. I want to thank you, everyone that's already gotten the album, man. I'm very proud of it. It's doing so well. And that's all because of you. So please subscribe, rate, and review it. And a little bit of Honeydew information for you here, y'all. The website is thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's thehoneydewpodcast.com. Facebook, same name, The Honeydew Podcast. That is the official fan page, The Honeydew Podcast. Email me, honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Real easy, honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And Twitter, honeydewpod. That's what we're all about over here. So, why are we doing a new podcast? Well, my last one ended, and I didn't want to stop podcasting. So why specifically the Honeydew? I'll tell you why. Some of you may have heard this, but look, this is the first episode. I want to make sure, knowing what I know now, with all the new people that come in, you go back to episode one, and you can hear the intro to this episode and what's going on moving forward, and who I am, what I'm all about, and why we started this podcast. And it'll answer all your questions. Why I was sitting in a diner one night, I'm having some food, and get my fruit bowl, my fruit cup, and I eat all the fruit, but I don't eat the honeydew. And it's not like I hate honeydew. It's just I don't fuck with the honeydew. You know, it's least desirable in that bowl for me. So I go to walk out, and I start looking around at the tables, and I see a lot of honeydew left on all the tables. I was like, oh, man, nobody likes to fuck with the honeydew. Now, I know there are some of you out there that do, and that's fine. They're probably, you're, like I've said, to people I should probably be involved with. But mostly, nobody likes the motherfucking honeydew. And I started thinking about this perfectly good fruit that's just thrown away. And I was like, oh, I'm a honeydew. I've been thrown away plenty of times. Nothing wrong with me, but I'm a honeydew. So I went and did some research. I looked up, is it really a disliked fruit? Is it just me? It came in on the bottom of the list, I think, with figs and dates were after it. That's it. Honeydew down at the bottom of the list. And some of you have heard me tell the story. I read an article about a guy that owns an all-you-can-eat pancake house. And he said, you can imagine how many uneaten pancakes I throw away every year. I throw away more honeydew than I throw away uneaten pancakes. And they said, well, why do you have? And he said, it looks good next to the watermelon play. Yeah, that's what it's all about. We want to talk to the people who, you know, my whole life story is a honeydew story. And you've heard so many people come on the Crab Feast and they have life stories that are honeydew stories. But I don't want to just focus on someone's life story. Any of those stories where you've been thrown away or overworked, underpaid, overlooked, picked last, embarrassed, cheated on, broken up with, divorced, you name it, whatever it is, the struggle, I want to talk about it and I want to laugh at it. The who, that's going to be me, and I'm going to have a rotating guest co-host. You'll meet our guest co-host shortly here for this week. We're not going to have a guest. It'll be myself and the guest co-host this week. But I wanted to rotate that chair with people that I have a really good rapport with and a lot of my favorites from the feast and a lot of people I'd like to introduce you guys to as well. And then also we'll have a guest as well. So it'll usually be the three of us. This will be a storytelling show with the focus on what I just told you about, all those moments in life, the overall stories, the individual stories, whatever they are. We'll be here every Wednesday, y'all. Every Wednesday, we'll be highlighting the lowlights. That's what I'm talking about right here at your mom's house studios, all right? So that's the deal. That's what this podcast is all about. I'm super stoked to be here with you. One of the things we're going to be talking about, as I say, we highlight the lowlights, but I want to tell you about the year I had in 2018. It's been the best year of my life, especially professionally, and it hadn't been easy getting here, which you're going to hear a little bit about, and you'll eventually hear more and more about in detail as we go forward in these episodes. But this year, I'm just going to throw some things out that I'm super proud of because we're going to celebrate that kind of stuff here. I was a supervising producer on Kevin Hart's Donald Mack series for LOL. We won a Streamy Award. I was a supervising producer on a sketch comedy pilot for Kevin Hart. I helped sell a series to E! Called The Funny Dance Show, where I'm a co-EP. I got an official Topps card and poster and two action cards and a sponsorship. I parlayed that into a Topps sponsorship for the Home Run Derby where I won my bet. I was able to get my dad's Pan Am Work shirt in there as a game-worn shirt, which was awesome. Got Rogan. I did Joe Rogan's podcast this year, which was really fantastic, and I can't thank him enough for that. Tom and Christina as well. I can't not only thank them enough for doing their podcast, I can't thank them enough for bringing me into the studio. I'm so glad to be here. As I said, I released a new album, Get a Hold of Yourself. It was number one on iTunes comedy, went all the way up to number 65 on the iTunes overall charts, and hit number one stand-up on the Billboard charts as well. So I had the number one stand-up album in the country for a little bit. Being able to perform at the Comedy Store is always a blessing. Got my pick on the Jimmy Seafood Wall of Fame, where I went and did some sold-out stand-up shows for my album release, which was really awesome. Got up there at the Petaluma to do the Petaluma Festival with Dominic Del Bene, who produced my album's on his label right now, Blonde Medicine. Can't thank him enough for that. And something very special to me that I'll never forget was Steve Simone, myself, and our good friend Damon Bruce up in Northern California. We're able to make a dying boy's wish come true and meet Steph Curry when Make-A-Wish couldn't pull it off. We were able to do that for that boy and that family, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm super grateful for this new podcast right here, The Honeydew, and again, at Tom and Christina's studios. I really had a great time. Jay produced another stand-up show for us, our kids' preschool. Got to perform on that again. That's our third one, and it's always so much fun. Got back to Maryland twice to visit. I took Stella, my daughter, with me to Maryland and Delaware. It was our best trip back. And ending the Crab Feast. I mean, it's a positive. Every good thing has to come to an end, and it went out. I'm so stoked. I don't get to talk about this. I'm so stoked that we were able to pull that off. When we started talking about it, we were like, man, we can make this happen, and it did. And your outpouring of love, everything I've said, you know, posted what I can. I just – I love you all, and I appreciate you all, and I respect you all, and I'm so glad you're here with me. We're going to have a lot of motherfucking fun doing it every Wednesday at the Honeydew. And another thing, that I was meeting the Feasters, man, meeting you guys out there. So I look forward to meeting more of you and bringing you more content and everything. So that is what's going on here at the Honeydew. This is episode one. We're going to do a couple audio episodes. I don't want to leave you guys out or let you behind or let you down. We're waiting for some technical stuff to get run over at your mom's house studios, where we'll be bringing you probably episode 3-4 will be over there, officially in the studio with video, hopefully. But until then, I'm going to introduce my first co-host. We don't have a guest this week, just my co-host here. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know him. Four legs. Three DUIs, two passports, definitely sold one of them. Channel One News, y'all. Jimmy Josh Ademires.
Honeydew.
Welcome to the Honeydew.
Honeydew. Wow.
Episode one of the Honeydew. If there's any other Honeydew, I know.
I didn't think I was going to make it, though.
I mean, kick it off the dew. Well, this week you're not a guest. You are the guest co-host.
Yeah.
So it's you and me on this episode here, and I just wanted to get a couple episodes out because your mom's house studios may not be ready till mid-January, so we're just going to get a couple episodes out and get it going. And this first episode really is just to introduce me and who I am to. I know a lot of Feasters are listening, but any of the new audience that comes along, this will be an episode that lives here forever, and you can go back and listen to why I started this and what it's all about. So thank you for being on here. Go ahead and I think you have a podcast.
I do have a podcast, The 500 with Josh Ademires. It's a record book club going through Rolling Stone magazine's 500 greatest albums. And it's great. You did an episode, and you're going to probably do a whole bunch more because you said to me, you were like, I got ticket stubs galore, man. Dude, I went to see Judas Priest at the Capitol Center in 1987.
I didn't. You know, the only time I ever saw Judas Priest perform was on the goddamn Comedy Jam. That's the only time I've ever seen Judas Priest perform.
Rob Halford.
I wish I was in Heavy Metal parking lot. I wish I was.
Who's your favorite? Where are you going after this? Glen Burnie.
Glen Burnie.
Going to Glen Burnie.
Going to Ocean City. Bobbing their head and shit.
I remember when you showed that to me when we were watching like the Caps game.
Yeah.
But this is like 8 years ago. We're watching the Caps game, and then you put that on, and it's just like reminded me of how bad the Maryland accent is. I'd forgotten that was right with the voyage of it.
There's only one guy in that whole thing that even is on to Rob Halford. He's talking about all the guys. He goes, Rob Halford.
I don't know.
He says it. He did know. He knew. I play Count the Camaro or even Camaro style car. There's so many of them when they shoot across the parking lot.
It's so incredible to know that not only does that exist, but it also takes place like at a venue that I've been to and you've been to a million times.
A million times. So go ahead, continue. Please.
At Josh Ademires on all social media and joshademires.com. I forgot all my credits for a sec. I was like, what is my back?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. You had a little anxiety today.
Well, you took me on a hike before. This is, ladies and gentlemen, like right, we're getting ready to tape.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
the first episode. I'm like, man, let's just go out and do something. Ryan's like, nah,
let's go on a hike. I don't know what we talk about. I said, look, the first episode needs to be an intro episode. Sure, all the people who have come over that know me know this, of course, and I appreciate your patience. But again, you have so many new people that come along, and they're like, I just found out about you from Rogan or from Tom and Christina or from whoever. And then they go back to episode one, and it's like, well, here's where it all started and why. So I said, why don't we go for a hike? We'll get up in the hike, man.
I can't even tell you how many times I wanted to set up camp. It was it was such a long journey, and that's here's the thing, everybody. That's what I was trying to say. I'm
90% of it from the car to the.
I am down to do the podcast, motherfucker. But like I, but it's 11 a.m. We're meeting up.
It is not
a joint,
11. No, hold
smoking
on.
Smoking a joint
on.
To go hiking.
No, no, that's not true. We. I said, why don't we go hike? We'll talk. It's 11:15. Well, why don't we talk about it? We'll go up there. We'll get some fresh air. We'll get rid of any poison in our lungs. We'll go have some lunch, and then we'll go record an episode of the podcast.
But first,
when we get there,
I got this joint. It's called relaxation, and then I smoke it, and it should have been called panic attack because I immediately got in my head. I was like, I know we got a podcast later. I don't want to get high. Don't worry. We'll walk it off.
I said, then, Josh, it'll be 3.5 hours before we podcast. He's like, I can't think of nothing right now.
Dude, I also thought that we were going on like a trail, not a full-blown mountain range hike, dude.
I said it's the real deal.
Dude, you took me. I mean, it was at one point, me and Ryan were both going up the hill, and all I heard was, like, the incline was steep, y'all. Steep. But it was great.
The top is the beautiful payoff there.
Yeah.
You did well on it.
But I usually smoke pot this early in the day.
And it wasn't 11 a.m. It was fucking...
It was 11:45,
no, it wasn't.
Dude.
You pushed till
okay,
noon.
Okay, 12:15.
And then we hung out. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, for God's sake.
I love how you still think 1 p.m. is good time.
Well, I'm saying it wasn't 11. You know what I'm saying.
No difference.
We went out into nature. You know, we just went out in nature. We were one with nature. Josh had a belt on, and he had
some
clam digger pants, some work boots.
These are my existential crisis pants, man.
I've never seen anybody.
Comfies.
I said, are you hiking? I've never seen anybody hiking with a belt on, like a real belt.
They're the most comfortable pants I have ever worn in my life, and I wear them basically 90% of the time until I go out and do shows at night. So, like... You want to get started and tell me, because you've been talking about how, you know, like I know the story of your mom and dad, but I have really no idea actually how any of that happened. I've just heard little increments. So tell me your story of like.
Well, you just met my mom.
I did meet your mom. Yeah.
So I'll start this story by saying my mom and I have reconnected after I think it's 25 years. Something like that, maybe a little longer. And it's been great. And it's been work, and it's been not always easy, but it's been really good and beneficial. And again, I want my daughter to have, like, my daughter's relationship with her grandmother is not really even my fucking business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If my mom's going to be good to her, then... And I can tell you, my daughter is reaping the benefits of that guilt play. We getting Thanksgiving cards. You know, I didn't even know they had Thanksgiving
another
cards.
Present?
It's over there in the guilt section, the Thanksgiving cards. Yeah, right next to the kid. But man, to get there, because I can tell you this, if you would have told me, I mean, you could have told me from... I mean, she doesn't like hearing this, but she's going to have to hear it. And I've even told her she should come on, and she said she would agree to come on. So we'll see if I can really make that happen, because I'd like to do that, because she's going to have to take it. Because that's who I am. I joke about everything.
Well, like, you've told her already, like, when you guys reconnected, you kind of explained to her, you were like, this isn't going to be just, I can't just jump right back into this.
Well, that was immediately.
Well, how did that all happen? Like, so how did you get to your
mom? All
right,
we'll talk about
that. Because you said your mom chose one of your brothers over the two of you. How bad were you that she didn't choose you?
I'm the honeydew, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. Clearly, Todd was strawberries. And Derek was kind of like watermelon or cantaloupe. Like, I can take him. I don't have to take him. But that honeydew, that shit over there, give that to somebody else, man.
He was kiwi. Some people love kiwi, you know what I mean?
Hey, look, there's a lot of people that love honeydew, but it's a hell of a lot more that don't, man. You know what I'm saying? Well, all that happened because I had had Stella. You know, I my brother hit me up and said, "Hey, Mom said she wants to send you something." I said, "Look, you don't need to be in the middle of any of this. Feel free to tell her that. People want to do, they do. We're registered where everybody else is fucking registered when you get a baby. You know what I'm saying? A matter of fact, baby was in the title. So, or you just send something on Amazon if you want. You know what I mean? Like the registry, you don't need my address. It's all there. And I told him, I didn't remember saying this, but I'm sure I did. But I said, look, you know, if I don't have a mother, how does Stella have a grandmother? So if she wants to send something, she can send something. And then she told me, my mom told me that. She said, when he told me that you said Stella didn't have a grandmother, I go, how? How could she? I don't even have a mother. But then she was like, you're right. I go, so how can she have a grandmother?
Yeah.
So, you know, she didn't send anything. We didn't hear from her. And then when we were doing that Crab Feast tour in 2016, my brother was turning 40, and we were in Baltimore on 11/11, which, as you know, is a special date for me and address for me and all that shit, my grandmother's place. But my younger brother's wife hit me up and said, look, I want to throw him a surprise party while you're here. Will you help me? And I was like, yeah, of course. But I knew I would see my mother at that. I knew there was no avoiding
that. How long had it been before you'd seen her before then?
Seen her probably a couple of years, because every now and then she would come to the, like, my niece and nephew's birthday party or something, and I would see her, I'd say hello, and then I'd go outside and play fucking horseshoes until she bounced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't, I just never made it a scene or never made it about me. I just quietly went over there and
she didn't play horseshoes?
No, man. She can't. She's a fucking ringer, man. My mother's really good at it. You saw my mom's 6 feet tall, she's man.
She's a middle linebacker. Yeah,
she'll tell you. She could be a middle linebacker, actually. She could. So when I got there, I saw her, and I just, you know, I just took the high road, and I just said, would you like to see some pictures of your and videos of your granddaughter? And she just lost it.
Just opened up.
So I said, just go sit down. Let me get up here.
Sadness tears.
Yeah. Give me some of this crab dip. I went up and got my plate ready, and then I sat down. And as soon as I opened that phone up, she screamed, that's your face. And then I started crying. And I'm laughing at a certain point, like, this is his surprise 40th birthday, and we're over here just stealing it.
I mean, you were still holding the plate of crab dip. You had the carrots on there. You're like,
dripping it on the screen and waving it with my fingers.
The way you are, you're like, hold on. I love you. What is this? Was it dill in this?
Ah. What y'all seek? Relish? Sweet relish, huh? Never had that. Okay. So I say to her, like, let's get our shit together here. This is his surprise 40th birthday party. So I show her videos, and I went back to the day she was born, and I caught her up for 2 years, basically. She wasn't even two yet, actually. She was turning two. Oh, she just turned two. Yeah, she did. So she then said at the end of the night, I let her FaceTime her, and I said, look, don't take it personal. Sometimes she doesn't even want to talk to you. You know, I tell you all the time.
Yeah,
she doesn't want to hug. She's a kid.
Yeah, they're temperamental.
I said, but she just woke up, and she don't even know who the hell you are. It's the first time she's ever laying eyes on you.
She sees this 6'7" Baltimore woman just, how you doing, honey? Like, what the fuck is that?
That's grandma.
Because you know, like parents, my mom doesn't know how to do FaceTime, so they go up super close.
Oh,
so
yes.
Your mom would be like, yeah, just like,
we're just getting eyebrows, Mom. We're just getting all eyebrows right now. Back up a little bit.
Take your pads off.
You know what's funny? I'll say this about my mom, and even during the time I didn't want to speak politely over, and I can't believe it just dawned on me, because it is a Crab Feast related thing, but it's the polar opposite. My mother makes the best goddamn meatball I've ever had.
Oh, she looks like she can cook.
In my life. Yeah. Listen to me. Even when I couldn't stand the thought of even talking to her, best meatball I've ever had in my life. Complete opposite of Sue Larson.
Complete. I just thought of that. I can't even get over it.
My mom makes meatballs. I mean, they look like Sue's on the outside.
On the outside, they're brown. I wish I could have seen those.
So I let her FaceTime her. She's happy. She's crying. And she said to me, you know, can I get your phone number so we can FaceTime? And I said,
Your mom didn't even have your phone number?
No.
What the fuck, dude?
Weren't on FaceTime. No connection.
For how long?
I'm telling you, like, I mean, other than I would go home to my niece and nephew's party and see her, and I'd politely say hello, and if she hugged me, I'd hug, and then I would bounce. I would, then that'd be it, and then somebody'd be like, "Mom's gone." I'm like, "Oh, thank God, I'm starving. I'm getting all the I'm getting all the crusty corner crab dip out of it. Everybody's already got the good shit.
They put dill in it. Thank God, got that dill."
Yeah, dude.
All I'm getting left is like, I come in for the happy birthday cake, and then I go right back outside. You know what I mean? I'm stuffing my pockets with like chips and stuff, just tie me over to get back in.
So I said, well, why don't I give you my email? Because I at the time, and maybe I am right, I don't know, I'm wrong a lot, but I thought you could FaceTime with email. I didn't think you had to have a phone number. And she couldn't figure it out, and I was probably wrong anyway. So I was just like, I told her, I was like, let's pump the brakes on the number. We just started hanging out here.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if I'm ready to give you my number and have complete access to me at all times.
Like, slow play it.
So after, I don't know, not long. I mean, she couldn't figure out how to FaceTime, so I gave her my number. And, so she FaceTimes now, and we FaceTime her, and Stella will call her and show her stuff that she sends her and stuff like that. So what happened was she was going to come out to visit. She has a girlfriend in Maryland. And this is what's crazy. Like, I'm just getting to know my mom. My mom loves Steven Tyler. She's
from Aerosmith?
Dude. So when we did our Baltimore show, okay, he was up in New York for the...
She was like, next time you perform, I'll bring some scarves for you to tie around the mic stand.
She loves him, okay? I'm learning. I don't know my mom. I'm learning about my mom.
So your mom when she was like kicking you guys out a long time ago, she's like,
I'm back in the saddle.
I don't ever want
to
see
the fuck out of here, Ryan.
I'm back in the saddle again.
Dream on. Dream on.
I want you out of my life. I'll stay tonight just to hear you breathing. she loves Steven Tyler more than she loved you.
Todd, I love you.
Ryan, I hate you. Sweet emotion. Get that shit out of the corner. Sweet.
Yeah, she's in the car just like talking about things and nobody cares.
Damn. Reaching back and beating us.
You blocked it out. You blocked it out. I can't listen to Aerosmith ever again. She ruined it.
So while we were in Baltimore for the album release show, by the way, my album's still available. Get a hold of yourself. Feel free to get that on iTunes, everywhere you get
and
music.
And listen to the 500.
but get my album. And Steven Tyler, I guess, was doing like Good Morning America or something like that. My mother told me that if we weren't coming in for that show, she would have gone up there. She goes, I would have camped outside on the street to see him. And I was like... Fucking 72.
She's going on the road with
you. Don't do that for your kid.
She's going on the road.
Like, Steven Tyler.
She's like one of those hippies like making meatballs from city to city, selling them to the
people. I brought you some meatballs, Steve.
Like, Steve. So she loves Bruno Mars. My mom goes to crazy concerts. I don't know anything. I'm learning all, but it's all over Facebook. You know, I'm learning about her. So well, I used to laugh because she had a sticker on her. I don't know if I've ever said this to her. I got to call her out for it. But for years, she had a sticker that said something like, my grand dog is, something about my grand dog is like wonderful or whatever. And I laughed so hard. I was like, this woman's got three kids. At the time,
she's
two
got
grandkids,
the dog.
And the dog made the car.
I got kicked out of the house.
She liked the
dog's wrapped on the car. My granddaughter.
Dream on. Dream on. Dream on.
I love you, baby. I love you, peanut butter, my favorite dog.
Oh, God. So, yeah, I'm learning this lady, but she was going to come visit. And
she would have her. She would rather have walked this way than you.
Yep, she would.
I'm not giving up toys from
the
attic.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not giving up toys in the attic, goddammit. So she had a girlfriend in Maryland whose daughter lived in Encino, and she called me up and she said, "Well, how far is that from you?" I said, "Oh, you know, 20-25 minutes." And she's like, "How would you feel if I came and visited, stayed with them, but you brought Stella to see me?" I said, "Yeah, it's totally fine. I'm happy to do that." Because I jumped in right away. I was like, "If we're gonna do this, then you know." Well, once I gave her my number, I was in. You know what I mean?
You didn't hold any resentments? I mean, it's just for somebody that would, you know, choose the Armageddon soundtrack over you. I'm going to care about for Aerosmith. I'll tell you that right now. Ryan, get the fuck away.
So last night I heard that... there's a Aerosmith just signed like a 1-year deal to work at right next to the MGM or something. So I texted my mom and I said, "Hey, Aerosmith."
She got horny.
She said, "Oh my God, I'd love to see him there." She texted me back. Bruno Mars, she goes to his concert. She loves Bruno Mars.
I get that.
Steven, I don't know. Well, Steven Tyler's like her age. That's her fucking high. You know what I mean? That's her Pearl Jam. And you know what I mean? Whatever your high school shit was. That's hers.
She's going to knit like one of the onesies for Stella that, like, you know, Ryan stunted up and like put it out to her.
She went to Woodlawn. That's where her and my dad met. Woodlawn, you know, where Serial takes place. And I think it was Woodlawn with Serial. But she went to Woodlawn High. That's where she and my dad met. But anyway. So she wants to come visit. And I said, "Yeah, sure." And then the plans fall through. And she said, "Well, she's actually not going to visit now. How would you feel if I came to visit?" And I said, "Just give me a go. Where are you staying with us?"
Yeah.
I said, "Give me a couple days on that and let me get back to you." And I knew I was going to say yes, but I really had to think about it. And so I agreed. And one of my friends, she said, "How long has it been since you slept under the same roof as your mom?" And I was like, "Oh, that's a good question." Because I've seen her at these parties and stuff, but under the same roof, I was like, since I was 18.
Good God.
18 was the last time. No. Yeah, it was 18. Yep.
Why? What I'm curious still is, why did she not want y'all?
Well, so I'll get to that because I asked the same question. So she comes and she visits and she stays from like Thursday to Monday. So it's quite a while. And I thought about getting at it right away. And then I've talked to some people about it and they were like, "You know what? Don't do it right away. Just have fun and enjoy it. And when the moment's right, then, you know, then you hit it." But I wouldn't do it right away because it could set the tone all the wrong way. And this is a lot of time to spend with somebody that you haven't fucking spent more than I'm not kidding you, 2 minutes with in almost whatever, 20 years.
Sure.
So she came out, we picked her up, she was stoked. I mean, she loves Stella. And then we did Disneyland. And I'll tell everybody out there, and this is probably applies to all these parks, but she found a loophole because she wanted one of those motorized carts. You know, those.
Oh, to get on the rides first?
Dude, that is front of the line access, those 100%. Carts. And everyone with you.
Did she really need it?
Well, she's at the time was 71, and she didn't. She needed it, but not for the whole day. You know what I mean?
Mom. Like,
yeah, she had. She would ride the cart. Dude, I was behind her. I was behind her doing fog hat videos, playing that while she's riding.
Slow ride.
I should have did.
Dude. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's the one I'm going to do now. I'm going to put some Aerosmith to it for her.
Talk about things that nobody wears. I got a cart mom too, though, man.
So anyway,
ain't nothing wrong with having a cart mom.
No,
let's just
they
tell
need. I mean, look, she doesn't. You know, you don't need to have the cart 100% of the fucking time. You know, she could walk a little bit, but then she's going to need it. So she just got the fucking.
She
got
to wait for Space Mountain.
She got a nice one. Had an umbrella and everything on the motherfucker. And who do you know wants a ride on it? Stella's all up on her lap and shit.
That's how
I was
you
like, that's fine, man.
Kid.
Go ahead, let her steer it.
Give him an adult big wheel.
So we do that, you know, we go to Legoland, and this one moment, so my buddy Jim Grindstaff, he's one of my best friends. We've known each other since we were 14. He happens to live out here in Southern California, completely out of the business, but we're like brothers. And this dude went through a hell of a divorce, too. He's a single dad. His daughter's 2 years older than Stella. They're like best friends. It's our staycation. We go down and see him in Temecula, right? And you've met him. I'm sure you've met him. And so we're all at Legoland, and he knows. He's known everything. He lived it with me. I'll tell you a story about that. Hold on. With him on the porch. So we go to Legoland, and he comes to Disney. I hit him up, and I was like, dude, please, will you please come? My mom really likes him.
Yeah.
And I was like, just come and be that buffer so I don't have to constantly make small talk the whole time. You know, you can fill some gaps, shit like that. So he did, of
course.
Just
a buffer.
Yeah,
that's definitely a buffer situation. Yeah, it's a little cush.
And he did. And
he got quiet and he was like, so what's your favorite album by Aerosmith? Which one do you like? Just get it done. See that new Bruno Mars and Cardi B music video?
So we're getting on this one ride. It's like Hercules or some shit at Legoland. And it's one of those rides where it's just a four person, two people in the front, two people in the back, a little cart. And it's like you're getting ready to go in, or Aladdin or some shit. You're getting ready. And those big barn doors open up, you know, and go in. And my daughter and his daughter get on right away. And my mom happens to be up closer to him. She goes, I'll sit with him. So she sits in the back seat. And then the guy tells us we can't get in the cart next because there's someone ahead of us, but we're going to get in the one.
After that, yeah.
Two back.
Two from back.
That. And then that fucking doors start to open up. You just see these big, like, you know, like snake eyes in there. And I'm like, Mom, watch them. Watch them. And I look at Jim and I go, and not like you watched your fucking kids. Dude, we were laughing so hard all the way through.
She had to take her earbuds in. She was like, wait, what was that? Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm listening to a Steven Tyler podcast.
24 karat
right?
gold.
Doesn't your son have one? I don't know. I'm listening to Steven Tyler talk to Bruno Mars right now on the Aerosmith podcast. So we're dying laughing because I was like, Jimmy, our daughters, I don't know what the fuck's about to happen with them in there. Who knows? So that was like a Sunday night, and she had one more day. And I finally, I knew Stella would be exhausted. And we had a good 2.5 hour ride back from San Diego. I got to stop because I'm a factor five. You know what I'm saying? Every hour and a half, I got to stretch those legs.
Got to put the compression pants to work.
I only fly with compression pants. I only fly with those. So, she fell asleep before we were basically out of the park. And I just had 2.5 hours of straight up. You know, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, and I told her, I said, I feel like you've been waiting, because she would stay up late at night and she would just sit there quietly on the couch and wouldn't say anything. And I knew she was waiting for me to bring it up. And I said that. I said, I feel like you've been waiting for me to bring this all up. And she's like, I have, you know. And I said, well, that's one of the things I've always resented is I've always had to be the parent in our relationship when I was the kid. And she's like, you're right, you have. So, yeah, I just started in on it. My first question was, like, why'd you hate me? Like, what did I do to you? And she just started bawling. She's like, I never hated you. And I'm like, you obviously, you know, if we just run down to res. You know,
she was like, I've always had sweet emotion for you.
I've always dreamed on about you. I said, he's running that way, but I want him to walk this way.
You think I don't want to miss a thing? You think I don't want to miss a thing? You can dream on. Because I have been walking this way. And in my heart, Janie's got a gun.
You're so jaded. From the deep, player.
I'm dying.
So the whole way back, I go back to the beginning. Like, you've been openly admitted to disliking me since I'm 4. Now, what the fuck happened? And the thing I can say is that I didn't get everything I wanted. Okay, now, not to shift this to the Rolling Stones from Aerosmith, but yeah. I got what I needed. What she would say a lot of times was, and I saw it coming, and I'm just going to be open and honest about everything. I was like, you know, I never brought up my dad, which was interesting. She brought up cheating on my dad, and I because I had committed to keeping it to about us. I wasn't going to bother with, you know, anyone else's relationship. It wasn't my business. I wasn't going to bring up my dad. She brought it up. So once she brought that up, I was like, let's go ahead and tally that up. But real quick, I want to go back because I want to tell you this quick story about Jim Grindstaff, who I was telling you I love. So he's been there for all of it. So this one time we're sitting on – this is right – the place she kicked us out when we turned 18. We graduated and she kicked us out. And we were about to throw the mother of all fucking parties, July 3rd, 1991. All right, 4th of July Eve. And we were getting ready. And about a week or so before that, I'm sitting on the porch with Jimmy and – my brother had peeled the, you know, the rubber that goes inside the screen door
and
it holds the screen in. We would peel that out to get the corner out so we could reach up and unlock the door and shit like that. So my brother had done it. I knew he did it cause he told me he did it. And my mother came home and she just didn't like me. It was whatever happened. It was my fault, whatever. And she's like, you broke the screen. I go, I didn't break that screen. Derek broke the screen. You know, he broke the screen. You're paying for it. And I go, I didn't break the screen. Well, I don't give a shit, you know, going off on me. And poor Jim's just, you know, he's just sitting there. You know what to do. And she's screaming out. We're outside, you know, on this little, I say porch. We had a driveway that was gravel. And it wasn't longer than 10 yards, if that. And this porch was basically a square that you stepped up onto before you went in this house, which was a duplex anyway. I say house. It was a duplex. And, she's just going off. You broke this fucking screen. I'm like, I didn't break the fucking screen. And she's like, you broke it. And I picked that screen. Jim's just sitting there. I picked that screen up. I say, yeah. I just, my knee. Oh, I bent that bitch up into like a little ball and I threw it on the ground. I said, now I broke the screen. Now I'm going to pay for it. And I sat down and Jim went inside. To this day, he's still like, dude, you broke that screen over your. I couldn't take
grabbed
it.
Grabbed it off.
I couldn't take it, dude. So, like I said, I didn't get what I wanted, but I got what I needed. She kept saying, well, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. And I started from four, and I walked her through the floor plan of every home we've ever lived in. She could knock it over. I mean, from the one in Texas when we were there for around, I think we were there when we were age four for not quite a year. I walked her through it. I go, we had McDonald's bed sheets and curtains. She's like, you did? I was like, who the fuck buys our kids that? I go, there were these baseball players, these bronze ones with a little bit of orange on one and blue on another. She's like, oh my God. I go, you went right this way and through the dining room. I did
every
floor.
She bought McDonald's curtains?
Yeah, we had
with their little like McNuggets on it or something. Like, what the fuck, dude?
It was all the characters. Remember when the characters were big and they would give plates? Remember you get a
Grandma
plate?
Grimace pillow.
Shut those Grimace curtains, God damn it. I got you some Hamburglar blackout curtains. And what's that fucking the chicken guy? It was all those characters. She probably made him.
yo, so, grab my Mayor McCheese ottoman.
So we did that.
Mayor McCheese.
And and she just was blown away. And I said, you know, that house on Iron Gate, that's the house I've told where my dad bought the Christmas trees and now they tower over that thing. I said, that was my favorite house. She's like, that was my least favorite house. And I was like, yeah, it's the one you ruined everyone's dreams in. No wonder it was your least favorite. That's where we were all hopeful. Like,
yeah.
I was like, it was the best fucking house. That was the best one. That's the house I talk about where I snuck down and my dad let me watch Bustin' Loose Richard Pryor with him. Like, that was the fucking house.
That's the best.
That house is the house. And, you know, since you kept saying, well, I don't remember that. And she's like, I left you kids alone. I go, Mom, you want to call not only the kids, their parents are all still alive. You left, you abandoned us Monday to Sunday. You came home, you did laundry on Sunday, yelled, you took meatballs to somebody else. We couldn't even have the food in the fridge. Don't eat those meatballs. They're for somebody else, she would say. We're fucking starving. Like, what? What? So she would split, and then we'd just be left alone for the entire week again to just. We're 16. My brother is 13. We're getting each other to school. We're doing all this. So I went along with it. I was like, okay, you don't remember that? What about that? I don't remember that. What about that? She had her dates all wrong.
Think she's
wrong.
Just blacking it all out? Or she just, or she knows? Or she just doesn't want to, when you're just reminding her of all the shitty stuff that she did?
Well, I think that it's probably a little bit of both. I think there is definitely some that she has blacked out and blocked out. I also think there's some she doesn't want to admit to because she realizes how bad it was. You know what I mean? And God, why would I say that? But what she said to me was, look, I can't say I remember all this stuff, but I know you're telling me the truth. I know that what you're saying I did. I'm just telling you I don't recall all of it. And I said, okay. I said, well, what about the time? Do you recall? Tell me if you recall this. When you went to court and I saw her body change. And I said, and the judge was a lady. And she asked Dad what he wanted. And he said, well, I want my kids. I want all my kids. And my father told that woman, like, if you think it's best for, you know, if you're just, because she's the mom, if you're just going to give her custody, then I think it's best for these boys to be together, not split. It doesn't do them any good, and this is what should be best for them. And the judge said, okay, and then asked my mom, and my mom said, I want Todd. Derek can come with me if he wants, but I don't want the honeydew. That you can take that, get that shit out of here. I'll take some more of those nasty-ass purple grapes.
I'll take the cantaloupe. Leave the green, motherfucker.
And straight up said she didn't want me. And I said the judge was so bothered by that that she gave Dad full custody and made my mom pay my father child support in 1989. I said, do you remember that? And she goes, I remember that. I go, okay. So let's start there. If you remember that, if you remember telling the state of Maryland that you did not want me, what makes you think things were cool and good? Like, what parent would say, I don't want this kid to a court if things were good? So once I went along with it, that shifted everything. And then I was able to ask her everything. Like the old man that we call him the old man, but that old dude that she brought up.
She cheated on your dad with? Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I said, look, I've never wanted to give you credit because I just didn't like you because of the way you treated me. I said, but you were an attractive woman. You could have done better than that, dude. What the fuck? Like, why that guy? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to cheat on dad, what the fuck? That guy? She's like,
dude looks like a lady.
I said, what do y'all have in love in an elevator? Come on. That dude looks like a lady. It's so good.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. That's what I'm talking about, laughing at all of it. So, I was like, why that guy? You know, like, you were a good, you're in your 30s, I think, at the time. Like, what the fuck? That guy was so much older. So, but, you know, now that you're older, you don't know what the fuck anybody's going through. Like, so, and I never really resented her for splitting with my dad. Like, and I didn't know if she knew that or not. I was like, I kind of get that, you know, like. Especially now, I wish my father was alive because I'd ask him, like, how the fuck did y'all do twins and stuff? You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot. I think that, honestly.
Especially if she's not into it. You know what I mean? Is she not
helping? She wasn't into the second twin, which was me. You know what I'm saying? She had the strawberry. strawberry. Oh, something's coming out. Honey.
She take the twin, not the in.
So, you know, I got to ask her everything. Everything I'd wanted to ask, like. And again, I didn't get all the answers I wanted, but I got to ask all the questions I wanted. And I went all. And then when we got home, I put Stella to bed. That was 2.5 hours. And I was like, we're not done. And I took her out on the balcony and I said, look, I'm fucking 44 years old or whatever I was. And I was like, I smoke weed. And I fucking pulled out a joint and I was like, we're not done talking. I sat there and blew weed all over her for another 2 hours. And I was like, so why'd you cheat on dad? Yeah. So it was very, I mean, it was beyond therapeutic. Therapy is what you work for that in therapy. I'm fortunate to actually have gotten that opportunity, you know.
Oh, to work through all that stuff?
Well, yeah.
I had with my dad, I had the same thing. But my dad got sick and he had the aneurysm in his heart. I had a month before he died and we got to talk and it was just like he died a month after he had the aneurysm. But that month I got so much shit out because I think it like changed him and he was like, I'm proud of you. I'm done this. And it's just all the shit I needed to hear. And now it's just like, now I have him gone. It's just like, well, I got my answers. It's right. A good way to end it. So I know what that feeling's like.
It was great. And now, but you know, you'd be naive to think that for you, obviously, he passed, so there is nothing else. But I'd be naive to think that that's all I need to do right now. So now the real work begins is, you know, it's funny. I think, and I really believe this, like comedy, both stand-up and absolutely the Crab Feast are therapy. They're, to have the outlet of the Crab Feast, and not just Crab Feast, I shouldn't say that, because I've been on Aisha Tyler's podcast and talked about my story and stuff. It's just been podcasting, I would say, in general, specifically mine, of course, but to have that outlet every week. But it's been very therapeutic to talk about it. So I, being able to turn all those stories when I was, at that time, I was furious and angry and wanted to, you know, hurt people and, you know, just lost, and now we sit and laugh at it. I feel like all having gone through into comedy and dealing with it that way with laughter, I mean, you know, obviously you cry too, but mostly laugh because we can sit there and bawl all the time. There's an angry tear.
I mean, this is therapy in a sense, dude.
It's 100%.
It's where when every time I've done the feast and I would just take all of those stories, the shit that like that I war that wore me down and made me look down on myself, and then to be able to say them on air and make fun of them,
right?
And then they become this positive thing. Yeah, it's you get to talk it out.
So I think being able to then talk to her about them, I felt like the sting and the pain and the thunder had been taken and converted to something else. You know what I mean? Which was laughter and healing. But you know, I told her, you know what I do? You got to take it. I mean, I know she's stoked that we're here at your mom's house studio because Tom Segura's her favorite.
It's her favorite comic.
I mean, it's Tom Segura. I told her, this is exactly what I texted her, and I texted this to Tom, too. This is, it goes like this. Steven Tyler, Bruno Mars, Tom Segura, my brother's dog, me, somewhere, then her kids. And I'm not even at the top of the kids. I'm sorry, grandkids.
So,
there goes grandkids.
So low.
There's grandkids.
You're so low.
Then there's two. And one on the way, six of those, and then probably Todd Derrick and me. The big chunks of honeydew at the bottom of the bowl, just sitting in all everybody else's juice, all fruit juice, water drip. Like, get your juice off me, pineapple. God damn it, ain't gonna eat me now, man. I got pineapple juice all over me. I would put Old Bay on some honeydew. So yeah, I mean that, and obviously there are so many stories. I told you, like, you know, it would be back and forth between...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When they first split up, so we were in that house I liked a lot. And my grandma, my dad's mom, used to come over all the time. And we'd push our twin beds together, and she'd lay in the middle, and my brother would lay on one side, and I lay on the other. And she would just make up stories and tell us stories. And we would just be like, tell us that one again. And she's like, she would just, and we would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And I remember the night that.
This is with your grandma.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was there the night they decided to sell the house. So we didn't know what was going on, but we knew some
shit.
So
this is after you've been kicked out and after your dad died?
No, so this is, no. This is, we're going back to my, so we started in the city, and then just to, obviously the twins, they had twins, me and my brother. And then they move out to a place called Winfield in Carroll County. There for a hot second, and then my dad gets transferred to Houston for, again, a hot second, and then we come back to Maryland, and we live in Eldersburg, okay?
And how old were you in Houston?
Four, just for a minute. Right. And then we go live in this house. This house being the one I told you was my favorite. 799 Iron Gate Circle. And that's when it was about third grade. We started just seeing these crazy arguments and stuff. We didn't know, you know, what was going on. Everybody's trying to protect you. But sooner or later, you can't hide it. You know, someone loses it. Someone in there loses. You know, when you're doing that kind of shit, you're hoping a lot of people keep their cool. But somebody, there's a wild card in there. You're sleeping with that old man. You know, it's one of those, you know. And we were like, what?
Too deep.
Christmas is still coming, right, though? So that's when everything shifted around that time. Yeah, we had to get out of that house. And then when we got out of that house, we went with my mom for sixth grade, just for sixth grade. We moved to Westminster, okay? And in Westminster, we lived, this is when we lived, and it was a hallway. It was just a hallway, and it had rooms cut off of it.
What, was it a trailer?
No, it might as well have been. It was an apartment building that was 1, 2, 3, 4 units, 2 on the bottom, 2 on the top, and then the same thing. And then there was this little common area in the middle, and I say common area, it was just mailboxes and shit. And then on the other side was the same formation. So you got, you know, 8 units in this long, weird building. And when you walked in, it was a square for a living room. I mean, small.
Was this a studio?
No. Smaller than this right here, just a little square. And then there's a square the same size that's the kitchen. And then it's just a hallway, and it had 3 bedrooms cut off the hallway. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To the left. That was the whole place. And we lived, and it was just, that's when we got in a lot of fights up there. Like, I didn't take shit from anybody. My brother was, kid was talking to him one time, and he was running his mouth. And I said, boy, you ever fucking talk to me like that, I'll knock you on your fucking ass. And he came over to me, grabbed my bike, and just boom, put him right on the fucking ground, stomped him.
How old is this?
This is sixth grade. And then he went and got an eighth grader. Eighth grader beat the shit out of me out
yeah,
front of him.
I bet he did.
He did.
And your mom came out. She goes, see what happens? You were living on the edge.
I've been wanting to do that.
You were living on the edge.
I've been wanting to do that to him for a long time, man. Give him another one in the ribs for me while he's down. Yeah, he beat the shit out of me for that. And then he felt bad about it. He's like, you okay? I was like, no. And I went inside. But I got in a lot of fights up there. And I did good. I did good in all the fights I was in. But then, you know, so my parents decided to get back together, which we knew that wasn't going to work. They were apart for like a year. They decided to get back together.
What made them want to get back together? Obviously, it wasn't you guys. Or was it?
Well, it was for my father. You know what I mean? It wasn't for her. I you know, it's a good question. I don't know. I'll ask. They decided to get back together. So we've gone from Queensgate Road, which is West Baltimore, where we started, to Winfield, to Houston, to Iron Gate, to Westminster. And now we're going to Second Avenue in Sykesville, right? And they got back together. But my mom was, and I told her, I remembered it. That old man, the guy she cheated on my dad with, his place, he built it by hand. He was dirty. It was just, he was nasty. And he just had this distinct smell. And I can't describe it. I wouldn't quite call it moldy, but it had a pungent odor, and it was distinct. You knew.
This is him?
This is his home, oh, his home. Clothes,
so,
his
yeah,
everything.
So that him, yeah.
You know, so
Herbert got kind of a tang like when you smell him. God damn.
I don't really smell you so much as the taste you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got that pungent. Is that cologne?
Motherfucker smells like shrimp and cedar.
So there's this one time, and I got to ask her. This is what I was saying. This is amazing. I got to ask her because I said it was seventh grade. It was that next year. And I said, you were supposedly trying to work it out with Dad. And I said, I remember it was something like he asked you to bring toilet paper home. And you did. But the toilet paper wasn't in, like, the whole Charmin pack. It was one of those
individuals?
Yeah. It wasn't an individual roll.
I steal those from my gym.
It was an individual pack, not a roll. Like, when you get those, like, it's 20 rolls equals 96 rolls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was one of those 4 packs within the bigger pack. And it was just clear. It was just clear. And it smelled like his place. I knew it did. It laughed. I told my father. I said, my dad never spent
time. I ain't wipe my ass with this toilet paper.
My dad never spent time down there. We did. My mom would bring us with her when she would go see this dude and make us go play outside and shit, which we can get to. So I smell it, and I tell my dad, I'm like, she's still seeing that dude. And he's like, how do you know? I was like, that toilet paper's from his house. It smells like his house, Dad. So
the case cracker.
Fast forward to just whatever, 2 years ago, I said to her,
You think I don't know? Smell the paper.
Smell the toilet paper. I know where this is from.
Paper. Where'd you get that Charmin at?
You keep pissing me off. I'm going to go, JD got a gun. I'm going to call JD.
Ooh, you living on the edge.
So...
I'm going to put you on a permanent vacation.
I asked her, and she said she was seeing him. It was from his house. So they sort of just really are split for, I'd say, another year and a half. They're going back and forth. He's working all the time. And then so he finally gets her out of there. And that's when, like, he buys her out of the house, my dad. And they go to court, and that's when my mom says she doesn't want me and all that. So now my dad's got custody, pays her out for her half. Now it's done. It's what we've always wanted. It's what we've been waiting. It's what she's wanted. My dad's got all of us. She's going to pay child support, and she can see the kids or kid she wants to whenever she wants to. It's done. It's awesome. Everything's great. I go to Europe. I play soccer for the U.S. for a summer. I was, you know, as we all know, I'm all JUCO player. And when I come back, my dad was sick at the time. He was in the hospital. And then his health just started deteriorating from there. And
what was he sick with?
I don't remember what he was in that time for. I really don't. I just remember because we were literally flying back from, I think we came out of Holland, and we landed in JFK, and I still needed to get back to Baltimore. And I just remember crying because someone's like, your dad's in the hospital. And I just didn't know what. He could have been there for a sprained ankle. I didn't know what it was. It just scared me.
You just heard it.
I've been out of the country for a month. I'm 16. I miss my dad.
You're worn out, man.
I was worn out.
It's like,
and
we
just landed at JFK, and these fucking idiots are supposed to pick us up and drive us back to Baltimore. And our bus driver was sitting for 6 hours on the wrong side of JFK waiting for us. And we're just there. We're waiting for him. So then we finally get on. And I remember it was like 2 a.m. I couldn't wait. I was so glad to be back home and so sad to hear my dad was in the hospital. And I said to the bus driver, I'm like, are we going to be able to even see the Statue of Liberty on the way out? And he's like, yep. And I go, will you please just point it out? Everyone in the whole bus is sleeping. And I was like, I'm going to stay awake. And he's like, no problem. And then he pointed out, he's right there. You see it? And I was like, yep. And it was awesome. It was just awesome to see that because I had never seen that, you know.
Yeah.
And at night. So we go back. And then it's a normal school start. We play soccer, and then that's when that's the drive when I had drove him to the hospital.
How did that go down?
Well, he was just having like I said, some health issues, and the doctor wanted to see him. His doctor was at Hopkins, and he said, and he was the first one to have a Honda Civic with original rims. I think his was an 87, and had that slanted back. And I don't know why he picked me. He just said, I want you to take me to the doctor tomorrow. I got a checkup. This was just a regular checkup. And I think he knew what was going on. He probably called that doctor, maybe told me it was a checkup, but I think the doctor was like, you should come down and see me. And he goes, we're going to pick grandma up on the way, which is his mom. Grandma was his mom. Grandma DeVito was my mom. Grandma was my dad's mom. So... I don't know why he picked me because, again, my brother, obviously, we're twins. He could have drove, too. We both had our license at the time, but picks me, and I never got to ask why or whatever, but he doesn't want to drive on the way to get my grandma, and I don't think anything of it. Now I do, obviously, and we get my grandma, and we go. And we go to the doctor, and that's when they say, look, you're having a heart attack right now. Like, it's starting. It has started. I always thought at that time a heart attack was when you clutch your chest and you drop. But all the symptoms that they tell you about, those you're actually having a heart attack. It's not, you're having it. Like, it's only, it gets bad when you grab this shit. You know, you want to get in there right away. So that's when they were like, you need to get over to the hospital. And I questioned which left to make. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's this one. He's like, it's not this one, Ryan. But, you know, 16 years old, I'm an idiot. So I make the wrong left. He's pissed. He's beating on the dash, yelling. My grandmother's yelling at me. I was like, I'm sorry.
If he was having a heart attack, why wouldn't they call like an ambulance?
Because we were right next door. And they said, you'll be able to drive over there faster. Probably ambulance would have been fast. No, I'm just kidding. we flew right around the block again. Like, I ran every fucking light and didn't care. Drop them off. They're out there already waiting with a wheelchair. Take them in. And, you know, I got my grandmom in the car now. She's freaking the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
So we park. We walk in. She's crying. I'm good. I'm calling everyone. Calling my brothers at school. You know, I need to get a hold of them. My dad had a heart attack. So now it's nighttime, and I finally get to peek in the window, and I just see them all tubed up. You know what I mean? And it just, I don't know. Even if someone's okay when they're connected like that, it just looks so sad and vulnerable and reminds you just how weak and frail we really fucking are. And I just bawled. I just cried so hard, like, oh, my God, it's my hero. So he's in the hospital for, I don't know, a week. And I remember during that, too, I actually had sex with a girl. And I could have gone to see my dad in the hospital that night, but I decided not to. I decided to have sex with a girl. And I think my dad would be all right with that. God bless that girl for that.
That's a good nut.
It was a pity. She felt so sorry.
Nut.
It was.
It's
she
a
felt
death
so
nut.
Sorry. Well, dude, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Not
he
yet,
wasn't
but it was coming. He it's like.
No, we didn't know it was
you,
coming.
You didn't know?
No.
Well, I'm saying, like, but it's.
People live from heart attacks all the time.
The best sex, me and Angela used to say, the best sex you can ever have is like the after you, like, when you funeral fuck.
I got that after.
Yeah, that's the key, dude.
It is.
Because you just want to feel something. So, I remember when I was dating Britt, and like that, like, she was there when my dad died, and I remember the first thing I did when I flew back in from Maryland back to LA is just we had just intense sex, and it was, but it was like,
that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So, and then he gets out. And we spend the Thanksgiving in Highland Town at my Aunt Marguerite's, my grandmom's sister, which is like, you know, one of his favorite aunts. Like, they all loved him. And it was just because it was close. We weren't going to drive all the way back out
sure.
there. Just get him there. We're all with family and everything and, you know, whatever. So go there, and then we go home for the weekend. And we don't have school on Monday. And I remember that because I was supposed to go out with this girl that night. And it was a girl I'd always wanted to go out with. Always. And we get back to our place. It's Sunday night. And we got blamed for this fucking party, some house party while he was in the hospital. It wasn't us. I mean, it really wasn't us. But he got a call with our names attached to it. And he was like, I'm really disappointed in you. I was like, that wasn't us. You know that wasn't us. We were there, but it wasn't our party. Like, we didn't throw a party at somebody else's house. You know that's bullshit. And then my mom calls and says she's not giving him his child support. Like, she's going to be late with it. So he's stressing out. He's not supposed to be stressed. You know, she calls him with that bullshit. I know he didn't care about that party thing, but that was just his way of putting us in check was always to say he was disappointed because then he knew we wouldn't do it again. He just knew we wouldn't. He never punished or any of that shit. So I don't know why I went to bed early that night. And I say early. Midnight was early for me back then. And he was still up, and he was laying on the couch watching TV this way. I could see him. And I said goodnight, and I walked down the hallway, and I stopped, and I looked back, and I stared at him, and then I went to sleep. And I woke up with my brother saying, I don't think Dad's breathing. My younger brother had gone to the bathroom and walked by.
How old's Todd?
He was 12, and but my dad was buried on his 13th birthday.
Oof.
So, which... I don't know who the fuck was in charge of that. We go in. He's obviously not breathing. And at the time, I've learned, like, he was laying horizontal. And if you were to draw a line across his body, like you were slicing it in half, blood. You could see blood from the middle of, like, you know, the ribs down. It had settled. So he had passed somewhere in the night. And, you know, we were sleeping. We don't know if he yelled. We don't know if anything. We don't know if he could or anything. We just assumed he was in pain. He went to his bed to lie down because his legs were a little bit hanging out of the bed, and mm-hmm. he was laying back, you know. But there was blood on his toe, which I thought was odd for a heart attack, you know. And also, you're panicking. Your adrenaline is good. Your heart is beating.
I couldn't imagine.
You can't hear.
That. I've never seen a dead person, and if I had to see what my father as the first one.
That was my first one.
I don't know what I would do.
And you can't hear. Your heart's... You don't know what's going on. You don't know if that's... And I remember one of my brothers went next door and got the guy... Mr. Kenny. Mr. Kenny worked at UPS. Shout out to UPS, Baltimore Hub, Primary One, Joe Avenue.
I loved Mr. Kenny. That's Mr. that goes Kenny.
To yep.
Mr. Wayne,
yeah.
Mr. Kenny, Miss Linda.
Mr. Kenny worked for the Brown. He probably still does. He was a good dude. He's a young dude, just bought a house next to us, and these poor kids are bringing him over like, it's our dad dead. He was like, oh God. And he was doing everything. He's like, guys, I'm so sorry. I don't know if it's his heart or mine. It's beating so fast. And you could just see, and his eyes were open. So we knew what was going on. So I closed my father's eyes for the last time, and then we covered him up. And then I called his brother, who came out, and we called family, and they told us to lie to our grandmother because she couldn't drive, and they did not want us telling her that her son died. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying... And I'm not lying to her about that. Like, I'm just not going to make that call like you all can. But I called my mother because somebody had to call, and they didn't want to call, so I called. And she was at work. And I said, Mom, Dad died this morning. And she went nuts. I mean, screaming and freaking out, where I thought she'd just been like, thanks for letting me know.
Oh, wow.
No, she went nuts.
Like, mad?
No, just... Like
hysterical
grief.
Crying.
I mean, probably every regret, all of it just came out. I mean, hysterical to a point where a coworker had to drive her out to the house, and she just was gone, like beside herself. My grandmother's freaking out because she's already known, like he already had a heart attack. We're already in the hospital, all this shit, but she can't drive. So she told me later she was out on her porch screaming for anyone in the neighborhood to grab her and take her up there. So, you know, the priest comes in, they do last rites, and then because my dad had been dead a while, they don't take the body to the hospital. The
coroner comes by.
Exactly, and they zip the body up. So they tell us to step outside on our deck, and they close the curtains. And I just remember this lady, and my mom knows, she said to me, you need to give your mom a chance. And I turned around, I was like, are you fucking talking to me about this right now? Are you kidding me? And my mom grabbed that lady. And I've never liked that lady since then. And I wasn't crazy about her before. But I remember peeking through the crack of the curtain and watching them carry that black bag out to the hearse or whatever it is, their little car, you know, they take it in. And then we rode down to my grandmom's. And that's when she had already found out. And she was just sitting in a rocking chair, bawling and just zoned out. Like, I just dropped at her knees and hugged her. And I don't even think she knew I was there. So then she came to live with us, my grandma. So funeral happens, you know, we bury my dad. It was a excused absence at school, police escort. Like, it was big. It was really big and so nice.
21 gun salute.
Yeah, well, I think they had seven, and they shoot three times, but it wasn't 21 of them, you know, it might've been three and they shoot seven times. But you know, Aerosmith did a little song and dance.
It's amazing.
And I'm saying a prayer.
Desperate heart.
Tonight.
He had a desperate heart. A desperate heart.
Tonight.
Jabble dan, skeeble dan.
So my grandmom comes out to live with us. So now it's... November, end of November. It's December. Christmas is, you know, 3 weeks away. And the only parent that gives a shit about us is gone.
Gone.
Gone. I remember my brother laying next to my dad, just hugging him and just crying out loud, what's going to happen to us? And I said, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And then I went to my room and laid my face in my pillow and just screamed and screamed and screamed because I didn't know if we would be or not.
So, 16 years old?
And now we got a 13-year-old brother to take care of because my mom's not around. So we lived in that house from the end of November until sometime in February. And that's how long it took for, like, basically we had a choice. There was going to be some money because when we were all minors. So there was a check that my mom would get from my dad's work or whatever. And
I'm so high still that when you said you were minors, I thought, well, you guys are coal miners? I was like, you guys were working that early?
So, yeah, she's getting this check, and or she's going to, but she's not going to get it till February. But she don't want to take us until she gets the check. So the whole time, my grandmother, I told you, doesn't drive. We're 16. We got my dad's car in that station wagon left. We're all taking care of each other. She's just a wreck. You can imagine. Like, I get it now. You know, I used to be like, Grandma, like, he's not fucking Elvis. Let him rest in peace. You'd be like, don't you tell me.
Yeah, and it's
I get
kid.
It. I get
it's,
it. It's oh,
like,
yeah,
now you know. It's like no parent dad, wants to outlive their child. Right.
My dad and your kid don't equal the same thing, mm-hmm. you know? And so we're living out there, and I just told this on the last Crafties. Like, we were those kids that people, I don't know who organized it or what, but they all sent clothes and, you know, shit from the Gap and all the mall clothes and stuff. And I just felt like such a loser and such a charity case. And
I get it. No, I get it completely.
And I'm angry that I'm that too, because I wasn't that. Now I feel like I'm something that I was forced to be because some other shit happened. So, my mother came over, and then we were there again, I'm telling you, December, 3 months. My mom came over one time in the 3 months. I talked to her about this, too. And she's known my grandmother before we were born. You know what I'm saying? Like, they go back way deeper than we go back.
Sure, man.
And my mom even said recently, she goes, your grandma, you had a great grandmother. I was like, we did. So she comes over, and she's like, well, what do you want for Christmas? And she asked my brother. And then she asked Derek, and then she said to me, what do you want? And I said, I don't want anything from you, but what I do want is that child support money that you owe Dad. I want you to give that to Grandma so we can go to the grocery store and get food and things like that with it. And she said, you think you'll ever see that money? And I said, fuck you. And that was the thing you didn't say in front of my grandmother. And I walked out of that fucking house. And when I came back, I fully expected my grandmother to say, listen to me, that's your mother, you respect, because she always would say that shit. Nope. My grandmother felt every bit of that too, and I said it for us. So we then move in. That's when we move into that house, the apartment, the two-bedroom apartment. Me and both my brothers all share a bedroom. We're 16 and 13. All three of us packed in this little ass bunk bed. And the closest I ever got to have my own room was a twin bed in the same room my brothers had a bunk bed in. That was my room, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's when we just raised ourselves. We were home alone all the time. We had parties. And I told my mother, I said, did you ever get a call from the school that we were late? Nope. Did you ever get a call from school that we were missing? Nope. I had a 3.0 average. I was on the honor roll. Like, we made you look good. We made you look good. You didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
So she kicks us out when we turn 18, and my grandmom takes us in, right? And we live with her for about a year and a half. I'm going to Catonsville. I'm all JUCO. And my grandmother drops dead of a heart attack in front of me. I'm giving her CPR. I'm doing everything. Mouth to mouth. I'm chest, you know. And, you know, I've said it before, like, I wanted to save her so bad, not just because I loved her and she's my grandmother, but I just felt like, man, to have that over somebody. I
mean, yeah.
I could have let you die. I could have let, could have gone five less pumps. You wouldn't be here right now. Now, give me the sweet potatoes. Grandma, who's your favorite? Who's your fucking favorite, Grandma? I breathed life into you.
I kissed you and blew air into your lungs. That scares the shit out of me. Like the idea of doing that to somebody.
I was like, I got to do this to my grandmom right now. I was just finished completing lifeguard course.
Oh, so you knew how to do it.
I was fresh knowing how to do it. Within a month, I was lifeguarding. So what happened was she had walked out of her bedroom. And her last words were, "Somebody help me." And she went arms, side, face. Her nose was as black as that fucking case right there.
Oh, wow.
Her teeth knocked out. And my brother, as soon as I heard her say that, I picked up and called 911. My brother went up to help her. And I'm on the phone with 911, and they're like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I think she's having a heart attack. She's not breathing well. She's gasping. And we'll give her CPR." So I go, "All right, I need to do it." And she goes, "You can't get off the phone." I said, "I'm switching with my brother." So we switched. He came down and stayed on and gave him all the information. And then I went up and gave my grandma, did CPR until they came. And then, you know, they did all that. And they throw shit out of your place. They just, it's nuts. They tear your place apart. So she looked good when they left. After they put the equipment on her, her color came back. And I was like, okay, she's going to be all right. And
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th. And this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Brother and a cousin went with her, and because he had showed up, and she didn't make it. She died. I stayed back to put the place together and give the police report, and she died. She died on the way, and we were just like, "You got to be fucking kidding me!" Like, first dad, now her, and then right after her, the girl. It's like my little sister, Kelly, Shannon's sister, Sherry. By the way, he said Shelly.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day. He said, "Tell him Shelly said what's up."
I love you, Shelly. I know you're listening.
Shannon's sister was unfortunately killed in a car crash with a friend of ours named Anthony Emilio. It was Kelly Patterson and Anthony Emilio. I want to give their names.
It always happens in threes.
And this guy crossed the center line that may have been drinking and killed them both. And
did he live?
He did. And so went right from my grandmother in April to Kelly in August. And then my mom's mom, my other grandmom, in like October. It was bang, bang, bang. It was
Were you cool
rough.
With your mom's mom?
Yeah. I was her favorite because my mom, she loved me because my mom hated me. She made sure I got that love. So it was just terrible. It was a terrible time. And then we're just lost. And I had come out to Cal State Northridge, and that's when the earthquake hit. And I just wanted to get out to California and start doing comedy because I'd already dabbled with it in Baltimore where I showed you. And then went back, and my cousin had moved in the house, and this was our home. Like, it was split between my dad and my uncle, and we were basically my dad, my two brothers and I. And he kicked us out, changed the locks, took the fucking house, gave it to his son, who was a gambling addict, and within a year, the house was repossessed by the bank, and it's gone.
Wow.
So we were homeless. He kicked us out, changed the locks, wouldn't let us back in. I don't know, maybe... You know, when a patriarch or a matriarch in the family dies, that's when you really see who the pieces of shit are. They come out of the woodwork and they go get everything from the jewelry. They don't give a fuck.
I mean,
where's the money? Where's the jewelry? How much property?
I told you the story of my cousin Sydney and my mom. My cousin Sydney and my mom were best friends. And when Sydney's mom died, my mom, and I know my mom probably wanted a lot of shit in the house, but she wanted this lamp, and Sid sold that lamp, and then they've never spoken again.
Yep.
My mom was like, "I would have paid you for it."
Right.
Sid just, she just went ahead and did it.
Didn't want you to have it.
Didn't want her to have it, man. It's just, people get evil in death.
They do.
If there's money involved, they get really, yeah.
He's a piece of shit. So
what a piece of shit, dude.
Throws us out. And this was our uncle. This was, I got five kids now, you'd always say. And it was all, you know, but my grandma, of course it's her son. She trusted him, put him in charge of everything. And whatever, we got kicked out. And I'm homeless. Now, when I say homeless, I didn't have a home. I didn't have a place to get mail. I was homeless.
I had friends
I would sleep on, but I was the type of dude that didn't want to burden people. So I slept in my car a lot. I'd go to church parking lots and places that I thought were safe where people wouldn't fuck with me because I'm just in a little 1990 Honda Civic with original rim.
Oh, ours.
And I would do that for a while. And then I moved in with my grandmom's sister. And this is why, I mean, I'm so about extended family. Like, my great aunt took me in. She already had her grandkids living with her.
Yeah.
So I was able to get even closer with my, and to this day, I mean, we're super tight. So my dad's cousin, crazy cousin Gary, the guy I've talked about, his kids are who I'm talking about. We got to be so close. And we lost another cousin during the time where I lived there. And that was right then and there. So I busted my ass, went to Towson, worked at UPS, got out of Maryland, came to California to start this adventure. And that's, you know, there's a lot more to unpack in there. But that's my story in a nutshell. That's who I am. That's what I'm about. And there's a lot more, like I told you, we'll be talking about. And, you know, the kind of stuff we would do when my mom would make us go to that dude's house and shit. I mean... This one time, man, my brother Derek played with matches. He really loved matches, and this old dude thought he was going to teach him a lesson. So he went out and got a box of like 1,000 matches. And he told my brother, you strike every one of these. Because eventually he knew Derek would burn himself and think, oh, I shouldn't play with these matches. And I just, when I saw him give 1,000 matches to my brother, I was like, this guy's a fucking...
Oh, what a dumb fuck, dude.
You just gave...
How old is your brother?
He was like, we were like, I don't know, 10, 11.
Oh,
I
you
was
can't
like,
give
12.
Fire.
No.
Oh, man.
To a pyro, by the way. He lit everything on fire. So my brother sits down and makes a teepee out of these fucking things and takes one match and drops it in. Whoa, he saw that thing out the window. He came... He burned them all like that. That guy thought he was really going to sit there and light them one by one. My brother was like, yeah. And whoa!
One time when I was hanging out with this town degenerate named Mike Lynch, we were trying to go up to the shopping center, Germantown
Estates. I
feel
like everybody had a Lynch.
They're B-craft quality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Loud
it's
and
definitely
clear.
B-craft yeah. quality, right? I hung out with a lot of B-crafts. Robert Drollinger. I think I myself was a B-craft.
You were a B-craft. I mean, that should
not
be your next
family.
Pocket.
My family was not B-crafts. I just was a B-craft.
You were a B-craft.
I have a B-craft.
An honorary B-craft.
I'm a total B-craft. Reformed. But me and Mike were walking up to Germantown Commons and we're going through this little neighborhood after we cut through this elementary school, and there's all these leaves on this front yard, and I don't know why, but like he lights one match and just throws it into the big pile of leaves, and we just keep walking, and then we turn around, we're like, holy shit, dude. There's a huge fire. But we took off, and luckily when we came back, like the fire engine was there, but
it showed up.
It wasn't bad. It just burned away the
40 acres.
The Great Germantown Estates Fire. That might have been an active case. I might have who gives a shit?
Oh,
it's past 7 years. Nobody got hurt.
Yeah, man. That's it. I've been working without a net since I was 16, and we've got a lot to celebrate, and that's what this is about, too. You come a long way. I've come a long way. I mean, the first TV show I ever sold was with you. We sold a show together, a series together.
I got cut out of it.
I'll say the first one we ever saw. I say the first because there's going to be more. Well, I did sell a second one, so there's going to be more. There's going to be more, and we'll celebrate. As we go forward, man. So thank you for sitting here and doing this with me. Like I said, this is the first episode. It's just living here so you know what I'm all about, where I'm from, all that good stuff. And you'll be hearing those intimate stories in the in-between, all that stuff there. But, yeah, we're going to be having fun every Wednesday with y'all. So, Josh, thank you for sitting in as my guest co-host this week.
Of course, buddy.
Will you please promote? You think you have a podcast.
The 500 with Josh Adam Myers, everybody. The Music Book Club. You can go to the500podcast.com for all info. And I'm at Josh Adam Myers on all social media. Fleeced out, baby.
I am RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. Talk to y'all next Wednesday.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.